think one of the highest honors that a congregation can get is that they're friendly. And we are definitely thankful that you have welcomed us the way you have and made us feel comfortable being here this morning. Appreciate the section of selections of songs that were chosen this morning. And just so happened, all those are my favorite. Especially the last song. The words that is spoken through that song in which you want to know how you can reach people, you lift Jesus up. You tell them about Him. You tell them about His death, burial, and resurrection. You tell them what He can do for you, and He will not come back void. There was a young man who was walking down the beach. He had his towel over his shoulder and his swim trunks on. And he met a lady who was laying there on the beach, and he asked her, "Do you believe in God?" The lady, taken back that this young boy, I said young man, he's a young boy, would ask such a question. "Well, yes, I believe in God." "Do you go to church every Sunday?" "Well, yes, I go to church every Sunday." "Do you read your Bible and do you pray every day?" And this woman, being frustrated by the questions this young boy is asking, just as the moment she was about to ask him why he was asking all these questions, he held out a quarter and said, "Will you hold this while I go swimming?" What was he asking her? "Can I trust you?" You see, this little boy associated trust with whether or not she believed in God, and that she read the scriptures, and that she would pray every day, and that she could be a trustworthy person if she did these things. The question that I want to ask you this morning is, can God trust you? Can He trust you? Well, Greg, I'm here this morning. I'm ready to listen and to learn and to grow and to learn how to be a better Christian and how to be able to better my own life and to how to better the lives of others. So yeah, God can trust me, and I'm thankful that you do those things, and I'm not discrediting them this morning. I'm asking you, can God trust you with His Word? We're told in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15 and 16 to go and to preach and teach the gospel. We're told in Matthew chapter 19, the Great Commission, to go into the world and to preach the gospel to those who are around you. What are you teaching them? Can He trust you with His Word? One of my favorite passages come from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. He says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But can God trust you to be prepared? This morning in our class, we talked about the words that we use. We're not going to go back over that lesson, so don't worry. But I guess in a continuation or in the same mindset, I want to talk to us about making sure that we are prepared to teach the message to those who are around us. It is important. It is a must. If we are going to be the Christians, wear the name that Jesus died for, and we have to be prepared to teach. Are you ready this morning to give an answer? Our reading this morning came from 1 Peter chapter 3. I'd like to read it again, point out a few things, and then the lesson will be yours. It says, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what's good? But even if you should suffer for righteous sake, you are blessed. Do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear, having good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers," this is verse 16, we didn't get all the way to this verse, but the verse 16 says, "but having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." There's a lot of times that people come to me and say, "Greg, you know, I try to do good, I try to live right, but it just seems like every time I do, somebody's always got something to say." And you know what I tell them every time? And my wife's heard this a billion times. Do what's right. They'll have nothing to say. Oh, they might have a lot to say, but none of it will be true. You do what's right, and guess what? The people that are around you will know that it's false. That's not the Greg I know. Oh, no, Greg would never do anything like that. He is a Christian. I went to school at Magnolia Bible College in Kosciuszko, Mississippi. If you go to the map and you look at the map of Mississippi and you take and close your eyes and try to point right to the middle of the state, that's where Kosciuszko is, a little bitty old town, but a great school. Unfortunately, it closed a couple of years back, but it was still a good school while I was there. It got a great education. But the very first day that I walked into class, there was a professor that everybody knew. His name was Ray Passauer. Ray Passauer was one of those kind of men that he shot it straight and he told you like it was, and you can either learn it or you can fail. I mean, that was it. There was no going to his house and crying and saying, "Give me another chance." It was, and I'm glad, because it was a great worth that he taught us. But I was scared to death, because I come straight out of high school, went straight into college, and now I'm sitting at the foot of this man, and I'm scared to death, and he passes around a legal notepad, you know, the yellow paper that's, you know, about yay long, and he passes it around, and he says, "I want you to write down why you are a Christian. I want book, chapter, verse, and I want the whole page full, and I want you to turn it in with your name on it." Simple, right? Oh, and he says, "By the way, you can't use Acts 2:38. Everybody knows that verse. Okay, so I start writing, and I get about a paragraph, and I can't write anymore. And I'm thinking, this guy's fixing to fail me. And I start writing these excuses about how I can't figure it. I just can't. Anyway, so I finish up the page with these excuses, and I turn it in. We come into the next class for the next week, and he passes around that legal notepad again. I thought, oh, great, what now? "I want this whole page full of why you partake of the Lord's Supper every single week. Why don't we take it just once a month or once a year? I want book, chapter, verse, and I want you to explain it fully. I want this whole page filled out." I got about two sentences into it, and I could not answer anymore. I'm thinking, oh, great. He's definitely going to fail me now. And so I start writing all these excuses down. Anyway, long story short, we come to the next class, and he gives us these pages back, and he went through each one of them. And he wrote hogwash. That was his word for "I don't want to hear it." Hogwash. Big red letters. I'll never forget it. He says, "I want answers, not excuses." And from that day forward, I worked as hard as I could work to be able to answer why I have a hope in Christ Jesus. Question. If I were to pass around a notebook, could you do it? Oh, some of you probably could, but could we all? You see, the point that he made to us and went on to explain to us is that I want you to be able to answer for yourself why you believe what you believe. I don't want to hear that your mama taught you this when you were little. That's great, she taught it to you, but why do you believe what you believe? Can you give the common man on the street an answer for why you have a hope in Christ Jesus? Can you give him an answer for why you call yourself a Christian? What is your answer this morning about the hope and love that we have in Christ Jesus? You understand that's what Christianity is all about. Christianity is about the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, that even though whatever's going on right now in our world right now, it does not matter. Oh, it matters for the immediate future, but for the future, it has no bearing on anything as long as we're Christians and living as the Christian life, because we have a home in heaven. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Paul told Timothy, he says, you preach the word. He said, preach the word, because there's going to be a time that people want the tickling of their ears. They want you to be positive, and they don't want you to speak against things. Knowing the word of God can give us a chance to give an answer. Unfortunately, homosexuality in our world is growing by leaps and bounds. I know this is a sensitive subject, and I know that there will be a day that when I speak from this, from the pulpit, I will probably be arrested, but I will not speak against it. You see, our world wants to say, well, the Bible doesn't speak against homosexuality. They don't want to believe that God would hate a creature that he created, but yet he doesn't hate them. Neither should we. We should hate the sin. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 1. I want you to understand very clearly, if you are dealing with such a subject, with anyone, that the Bible does speak against it. And they say, well, it's just in the Old Testament. The Old Testament's done away with. You can't use the Sodom and Gomorrah situation, even though that was very much prominent going on during that time, and part of the reason why God destroyed it. He says, that's Old Testament. We live in the New Testament, so we don't need... Okay, that's another subject for another time. But so let's go to the New Testament, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, starting in let's look at verse 24. He says, therefore God also gave up to those uncleanness. Look very closely. In the lust of their hearts. Not God's heart. Not anybody else's heart, but their own hearts. God gave up the uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Skip forward to verse number 26. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For their own women exchanged the natural use of what's against nature. Likewise also men, leaving the natural use of a woman. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He created man, and then he created man. Oh, wait a minute. No, woman, right? That is natural. God looked at Adam and said, there is not a helpmeet for you. We need to create someone help you. And that helpmeet was a woman. All right, so let's go back to verse 27. Likewise, also men leaving the natural use of a woman burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful. He calls it shameful. And received in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, you cut it like you want to. And like old Ray Pasteur said, if it's not there, then fine. But if it's there, then we need to look at it, study it, and know it. You see, we can give a defense for what we believe if we know the Scripture. The Bible is the Word of God, and our lives should be directed by it. Not by what some brother so-and-so said, or Reverend so-and-so, or whoever else wants to get up and make a comment. It ought not to be lived by what Greg Ledbetter says. I hope that you're turning in your Bibles with me to make sure that the things I speak of is the truth. I try very hard to make sure that it is. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God. Profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Here's what I like about the Bible. The Bible, most of the time, if not all the time, never gives us a problem without a solution. The solution can be found in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. And what I want to share with you for the moments that I have left are four things on how we can be ready to give a defense. You see, verse 15 gives us how we are to do that. Verse 15 of 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, the first part of that verse says. If we're going to be ready to give a defense for the hope that we have, we're ready to give the defense of being a Christian and why we live the way we live and the things that we do, because if we're living the true Christian life, people are going to want to know why. Why are you living that way? I mean, it would be so much easier just to go to the bars on Friday night and hang out like everybody else does. It'd be easier just to do that. You're right. It would be easier in your eyes. He says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. If we're going to be ready, we have to first make sure that God has His proper place. What does the word sanctify mean? It says to make holy, to purify or consecrate. It means to set something apart for a spiritual purpose. In other words, when we wake up and we decide, hey, I'm going to live the Christian life, we have to make sure that God has the proper place in our lives. Not football, not baseball, not basketball, not any sport or any work or related thing. We have to make sure that God has the right place. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all other things shall be added unto you. He didn't say seek everything else, and if you got some time left over, put God there. He says, put Him first. And you see, what ends up happening is that when we put Him first, all these other things are not so significant anymore. We still want them, and I'm not saying that we don't. But we put God first, and the other thing, everything else falls in place. He then says, be ready. For you Alabama fans, Nick Saban, whether I like the football team or not, he is a good football coach. He made a comment, and I like this comment, and I think it's very applicable for this morning. You can never be ready without getting ready. That's easy, right? But think about that. We can never be ready without getting ready. In other words, I'm not going to wake up tomorrow morning and that everything in this Bible is just going to automatically be there. And I'm going to know it. We have to study it. We have to prepare. There was a saying my grandfather used to use, if you fail to prepare, prepare to fail. If we're not going to prepare, you're going to fail. It's going to happen. You just wait. You might last a little while, but you are not going to make it if we do not prepare. So sanctify the Lord your God in your heart. Be ready to do what? Give a defense. Put your armor on, Ephesians says. Be ready to fight the spiritual battle that we are fighting with Satan. Be ready, he says, to give a defense. A very grim verse found in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. And I hope and I pray and I honestly pray that this never ever is said of us. My people were destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you rejected knowledge, I also reject you from the presented before me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. He starts this passage off with they were destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. And there are people in our world right now who claim to be Christians that are being destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. We just don't know. Christians have to know what the Bible say, not what these, you know, this TV shows. We did that little activity this morning where I started a quote and let you finish it. And that's all great and everything, but can we quote everything else in the Scripture just like that? Do we know? I want to share with you a poll. I like polls. This one was taken a long time ago. Well, I may say not long time ago, because when I tell you it's 1985, some of you may say, well, that's not that long ago. For me, it was a little while ago. A poll taken in 1985 revealed this. Less than half polled in the church, could not name 5 of the 10 commandments. Only half who attended worship could name the Gospels. Less than half knew who delivered the Sermon on the Mount. 1 in 18s read the Bible on a daily basis. 1 out of 8 read their Bible on a daily basis. And only a third could remember the last time they had read the Scriptures. I know this is true still today. I work with teenagers. And I ask them questions on a daily basis that they cannot answer, that I think to myself, whoa, where did we go wrong? How is it that you can't tell me the 8 writers of the New Testament? How is it that you can't tell me that there are 66 books in the Bible? Where have we gone wrong? And I don't think it's necessarily that we haven't taught them. I think they have failed to try to learn. Sanctify the Lord your God in your heart. Be ready. Give a defense. And then lastly, he says, with meekness and fear. We're not talking about the kind of fear as walk around all the time that I'm going to be struck dead. It is the kind of reverence that we have for God and for the Word of God. I think we can break this down just like this, and then I promise you we'll be done. I know I've been going for a little while now. Meekness can be defined as this. Remembering that we are nothing without God. I, Greg Ledbetter, am nothing. I may be able to get up here and speak to you on the Word of God, and I may be able to preach, and you may like me or you may not like me. But I'm nothing. I could not stand here and preach what I preach without God. It would be meaningless. Our life would have no hope. And we remember that if we sanctify the Lord God in our heart, put Him first, if we're ready, studied the Word of God, knowing what it says, if we were ready to give that defense, ready to speak the truth, and know after we've gotten ready to be able to speak those things, and we do it with meekness and fear, and we realize and make sure that we're not haughty and that we think we know more. And we talked a little bit about that this morning, about the difference between making a difference and making a point. if we're humble enough to know that I am nothing, and that we lift Jesus up, then we're ready to give a defense. We're ready to give an answer to those who ask why we have a hope in this life. Just like Jesus, we have a good example. If we're going to be ministers of God, we have to, and to have a great ministry, we need to turn to Christ. I have a question that I want you to answer to yourself, and obviously one that you're going to have to decide for yourself. A question that I like to often ask, and I remind myself, am I the same person here at the Tanner Church of Christ as I am everywhere else? How about with your friends? If I would take a video of what we're doing here and I would give it to them, would they know who you are? Man, I didn't know Greg did those kind of things. Wow. I challenge you to think about your life this morning and the influence that you have on other people. And ask yourself, have I been the best that I can be? And maybe it is that you have thought this morning, you know, I probably don't know everything that I probably ought to know. And really, I probably couldn't give a defense on some of the things I believe, but I tell you what, I'm going to work on that. I hope you do. That's the purpose for the lesson, is to help you understand what God wants from you. This morning, there may be some that have the desire to become a Christian. Acts 2:30, among many other passages throughout the Scripture, teaches us that baptism for the remission of sins is the way to heaven. But we can't forget the other parts of it as well. You see, you have to believe the words that are spoken and the words that are written. Do you believe it? Do you trust it enough that you're willing to say, you know what, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I'm not talking about just right now, but forever. From the mountaintops, you will shout that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He is the only way. Repent of your sins. That means turning away from them. That doesn't mean, hey, I'll stop it for right now so I can get done what I need to be done. But you turn away from it. You go the opposite direction. Ultimately, being baptized for the remission of your sins so that you may end up one day living the faithful life and be called the good servant. That you may enter into the place that He's prepared for us. Maybe there's some here this morning that have already done that. And you realize now that you aren't living the life you ought to live. You see, we have an invitation song for a reason. It's not for us just to sing another song because that's what we've done since we were a little kid. It's an opportunity for you to reflect on your life and to know whether or not you're in good graces with God. If there's any doubt in your mind, let us pray with you today. See, that's the beauty of being a part of the church. You see, He created a body for a reason. He knew that we would need each other one day. Maybe that's the day. Maybe today is that day for you. Maybe there is nothing. You have something that has nothing to do with sin this morning. Maybe there's a burden that you are bearing, and I don't want you to bear that burden alone. You have brothers and sisters that want to help you with that. And maybe that's something that you're dealing with today and you're ready to let it be known so that we can help you. If there is something we can help you with, you have to come as we stand and sing.